Monica Samayak, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and minister of God's Word, Sheila Crawford. And should you want to re-listen to this radio program, they are all archived on shofarministries.net, as well as our many newsletters for your learning pleasure. Let us pray. Abba, Father, as we will soon enter into the seasons of lights, let us give your honor and praise for sending us your only Son. May we be worthy of your grace and mercy by reflecting the light of Jesus to those still in darkness. We lift up to your throne our president for wisdom and protection, along with our recent prayer requests, asking for your favor according to your will. And Lord, please soften the hearts of all our unsaved loved ones, that they will respond to the knocking on their hearts. We thank you for your many provisions, and may you alone be glorified by tonight's teaching. We humbly ask in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my dear. And Hanukkah Sameach to everyone, which simply means Happy Hanukkah. And if you know any Jewish person, this is the greeting you should use this month. Hanukkah Sameach.
By the way, Hanukkah is the Hebrew word for dedication, I believe.
Right. Specifically, the rededication of their second temple after Antiochus Epiphanes' abominations were halted. Tonight, we will continue our Feast of Lights teaching, and I must say, this season is very unique, especially in typology of both Jesus and the Antichrist, which we will continue to point out over the next 2 weeks because it's a three-part series.
Yep, but first, just a little more of important news, like what Israel just did.
I know. You know, last week we reported that Iran was building what would become a very large military base just 8 miles south of Damascus, close to Israel's border in Syria. And that's Israel openly declared, no way, Jose, only in Hebrew, would they allow that, for it would dramatically threaten their security.
Yep. Okay, for Iran has openly said, and often, they want to annihilate Israel.
Yes, they do. Well, last Saturday, Israeli warplanes attacked the area with missiles and wiped it all out, killing some top dog Iranians who were there conducting a secret meeting that Israel just happened to know about due to the secret intelligence of the Mossad.
Yeah, so Israel knew that top Iranian chiefs would be in attendance.
Apparently.
Pretty slick.
But now, just last night, Israel has bombed again. But this time, a military research center in Jamrayah, which is even closer to Damascus.
Yeah, I think it's just about 3 miles northwest of there.
Yeah. Of course, as we have stated many times, we think of the fulfillment of Isaiah 17. Now, another important piece of news is that Yemen just decided to cut ties with Shia Iran and instead side with their opposite neighbors to its west, the Sunni Saudi Arabia.
Well, you know, that's a bombshell.
Well, it really is, but there's more. Iran was very annoyed by this news and just last night assassinated Yemen's former president, Saleh, who was the instigator of this new alliance with this young Sunni new prince Salman of Saudi Arabia. It is pretty unclear what Trump is going to do, if anything, but our military commanders gave strong words to Iran that they had better not harm in any way our troops in the Iraqi region, as they actually recently threatened to do.
Yep. Okay, and what about the moving of our embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv?
Well, President Trump will, by tomorrow, either say yes to that or sign another six-month waiver like he did in June. You know, I'm thinking that President Trump is using this time as, like, threatening talk to PLO Abbas so that he will finally sit down for peace negotiations. You know, in other words, or if you don't, we will move our embassy and declare Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Now, Abbas must know this is a new time in history. And his calls for another intifada, well, I just don't think they're really going to work anymore because, well, he wouldn't just be fighting Israel. He would have to face Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, and the United States because they're all together now. And even the United States has a military base in Israel. So I think compromise is coming.
Yep, I think so. So you're thinking no U.S. embassy in Jerusalem. Okay.
Well, the pressure is on. So and, I think so.
And Daniel 9:27 is definitely in view.
It certainly is. Meanwhile, in the United States, the tax plan is still in conference, and sadly, the Democrats are still working very hard to take down Trump. Such division is actually nauseating.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's sad they're doing this to him. You know, he needs all of our prayers.
That's right.
Okay, and you can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are always greatly appreciated, which will add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. Reminder, the first Friday of every month, Shofar Assembly meets at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland for worship with a timely Bible study. And if you'd like Sheila to speak to your church group, just call the office, 440-834-9006.
Okay. Well, thank you, dear. Last week's program is up on our webpage, but if you missed it, we can give you a quick summary of what we covered thus far. Even though Hanukkah is called the Lesser Feast of Lights, it isn't less important as far as typology goes.
For sure, and you know, we gave a good account of a good amount of background history last week.
We did,
mm-hmm.
And that led us up to why Antiochus Epiphanes became the ruler over Israel.
And we pointed out the fact that Antiochus Epiphanes was actually raised in Rome.
That's right, and that's a huge clue to confirm where the Antichrist will come from, even if he's not born there.
Right.
Then we talked about the gruesome acts he did to the temple and to the Jews, even putting his face on the statue of Zeus to be worshipped, or they would be killed.
Yeah, the Antichrist will demand worship as well, according to Revelation 13:15, I think.
That's right, and Jesus addresses this in Matthew 24:15 as well.
In fact, Jesus tells the Jews, when they see all this, to get out of Jerusalem as fast as you can.
Yes, he does. So, we left off last week where the Maccabees from the Hashbon family in Israel rebelled. And we'll pick it up there because God gave the Maccabees much wisdom, courageous strength, and a lot of chutzpah. Anyhow, they moved quickly to form an army by fleeing to the hill country along with anyone who would join for training and to become guerrilla fighters. Mattathias, the father, who was very old at this time, actually died in the first year of the revolt and was succeeded by his son, Judah.
Which means hammer.
No, that's Maccabee.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think
I'm getting Judah mixed up with them.
I know. Mm-hmm. Judah is the type of Jesus.
Right.
And he was known as the Maccabee.
That's the hammer.
Beating hammer, that's right. And he had to be a hammer because Antiochus's army was considered the mightiest in the world at that time. And yes, there were some hard and long battles.
Called the Maccabean Revolt.
That's right. They were finally victorious after four major battles taking, guess how long?
Three and a half years.
That's right. Does that sound familiar? So they ousted the evil king and his Seleucid army. Antiochus, also known as the madman, soon became literally insane and died. Of course, the Jews were elated, but this miraculous victory is not the real reason for Hanukkah. For their joy soon turned to bitterness when they saw the temple's abomination.
Yeah, it had to be a horrific sight, for they loved their temple.
I know. And just to think of that, pigs were sacrificed and Greek gods were erected. But they got to work right away, and on the 25th of Kislev, which is always in our December, in the year 165 BC, the temple had finally been cleansed and ready to be rededicated. However, along came another snag, for when it came time to light the seven-branched menorah,
which God said had to remain lit at all times.
That's right. But then they could only find a small flask of undefiled processed oil, and it was enough for only one day. This special consecrated oil is described in Exodus 27, but it would take a week at least to process because it had to be hand-beaten pressed olives without the use of heat. I think today we call that cold-pressed. And by the way, we like to buy it from Israel.
Yeah, from GalileeGreen.com.
That's right. Anyhow, here's the real miracle of Hanukkah. Lo and behold, the lighted menorah amazingly stayed lit for 8 days till they could finish the process. It's in memory of that miracle and the rededication of the temple that most Jews everywhere today light a consecutive daily candle on a nine-branched candlestick holder called a Hanukkiah. And they did that every sundown for 8 nights, beginning in the evening of Kislev 24, or December 12th this year. The middle candle is an extra one called Shemaz, and it's the servant candle and is used to light all the other eight. It's a great picture because our bodies are a temple of the light of Jesus, who is our eternal light that never goes out. But he allows each one of us to decide the brightness. More word, more Jesus, more light. It's your choice. Now here's the gold nugget, even overlooked when one reads Revelation. Right at the very beginning in chapter 1, Jesus says that we, the church, is a type of the lighted menorah. In verse 12, John sees Jesus standing in the midst of the lampstands. And in verse 20, he very specifically says that these seven lamps represent the church. Because, as we know, Jesus, who is the major light, lives in us. So besides the cross, which Satan often defiles, the menorah is our symbol as well. Which, by the way, has never been used by the occult. So, I often wear a menorah. So when asked, I can explain while also giving the gospel. Honestly, it's quite an attention grabber. And here's something else that is really amazing. Isn't it great to read that the seven lamps in Revelation chapter 4, verse 5 are in heaven before the sealed judgments are opened by Jesus? I was so excited to see that many years ago. And actually, the mid and post-trib rapture people, well, they've never given me a good explanation for chapter 4. And still something else that's an eye-opener and fascinating is that the official state emblem or state seal of Israel is the menorah standing in the midst of two olive branches. They base that on the vision of Zechariah 4, but as believers and lovers of the New Testament, we read in Romans 11 that we, the true church, is grafted into the olive tree. So, as Israel was called to be a light to the Gentiles in the Old Testament, especially in Isaiah, we now are also called to be a light to the Gentiles and Israel. But to see it declared on their own state seal that is used on their special documents and hung in all the important state institutions, well, that just tickles my heart. And it should yours as well. And since Israel doesn't read the New Testament, they don't even see that the menorah represents the church. It's one of those, I guess you could say hidden in plain sight. Only God would do such a thing. So, I have a state seal necklace that I wear often. But back to Hanukkah, did Jesus honor this feast of dedication? Now remember, there are two, the lesser and the greater, which is tabernacles, when the first temple was dedicated. But yes, Jesus did. Let's look at John chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 22 through 33. So if you have your Bibles, please open to that. In verse 22, it says, "Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem." And let me stop there because I want to point out the fact that "now it was" is actually the Greek word genome, number 1076. And the interlinear says occurred. It's actually past tense. And in the lexicon means at the end of or at the finish of. In other words, it was at the end of Hanukkah or the last or the eighth day of the feast. So let me start again. "Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch." Now, Solomon's porch is the colonnade on the eastern side of the outer court, so even Gentiles could be there too, which is significant when you understand this narrative. But let me ask you, why did John be sure to tell the reader that it was in the winter? Well, for those who study their Hebraic roots, you would know that it's Hanukkah and not assume that it was the greater feast called Tabernacles, which is in the fall. So he wanted us to know it was Hanukkah. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him in verse 24, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." And here's the best part. Verse 30, "I and my Father are one." So, he just claimed his deity on the eighth day of Hanukkah. And by the way, Jesus' number is 8. Verse 31 says, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." So obviously they knew what he was saying, that he was God. Even though unbelievers will tell you, "Oh, Jesus never said he was God." Well, if they say that, it's because they haven't read John. Continuing in verse 32, "Jesus answered them, 'Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?' The Jews answered him, saying, 'For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God.'" And that's the crux of it all, is that he was saying he was God, he was declaring his deity, and there's no doubt about it that in the Word, he did. So if you're talking to an unbeliever ever who get the talking points that he never said he was God, please show them John 10 because he did declare it. And you can't say that he wasn't because even the Jews knew he was because they started to stone him. And then he ran away. And that was on the last day of Hanukkah. And that's going to be important for when we finish next week. So be careful that you don't miss the program, because as Christians, I really believe we're going to see even a bigger miracle associated with Hanukkah that most Christians don't even see or even think about. But I'm going to share that with you next week, and I know that you're going to be blessed. You know, saints, I am so humbly honored for the opportunity to show you, the Bride of Christ, these gold nuggets of our Jewish roots. And again, next week you will see why Jesus waited to speak of his deity on the eighth day of Hanukkah. It's a fantastic study. So why not tell someone else, hey, listen to the program next week. Because you don't want to hide your lighted knowledge under a bushel. So ask yourself this. Is your light shining? Is it even showing? Does the light brighten up a room when you enter it? Now, we know the world is getting darker. And I pray it's not because the Christians' lights are getting dimmer. I wonder if there's a correlation. Every moment of every hour, the kingdom of God is inside of you, if you're a true believer. So therefore, your light should always be shining. Remember the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31? It says, whose light does not go out by night. Well, obviously, it's really talking about her righteousness through God, which never goes to sleep. Jesus said in Revelation 2:5 to the church at Ephesus, he said, you left your first love. So repent, or he would remove their lampstand out of its place. And it's not that they lost their salvation, it's that they lost their passion for Jesus. Your lamp can go dim when, as Luke 21 says, the cares of this life start overshadowing it by stealing your time away from his word and consuming a person to the point that his or her light is actually eclipsed. Jesus is the word. You've heard me say it often and often and often, but I just got to keep doing it because it's the only way that your light can stay bright. It's sort of like the battery that recharges you. Remember Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let me say it again. Your light is meant to be seen and not hidden under a bushel or under a bed, as Mark 4:21 says. So, if Jesus is not Lord over your life, repent and invite him into your heart right now. Open that door because he's knocking. Your time is really running out. We're getting at the end. Also, be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate and not just some head knowledge. Have a desire to know him more with a passion that will draw you into his word just to be in his presence. And remember, more word, more Jesus, it's that simple. I want to leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. And you can read that in Psalm 122, verse 6. I hope you have a wonderful week in the Lord. And remember to tell someone about next week's program. You will be blessed, I promise. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.